This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a Catholic priest and an Episcopal priest and a Baptist pastor, and I can use this because I grew up in the Baptist church, and they go on a fishing trip. And the Catholic priest is in the boat, and he goes, "Oh gosh, I left my bag up on the shore, and I really need something to drink." So he steps out of the boat, and he walks across the water to the shore to retrieve his bag of belongings and to get a drink. And a few minutes later, the Episcopal priest remembers that he also left his favorite lures for fishing on the shore. He steps out of the boat and he walks across the water to the shore to retrieve his fishing lures. Meanwhile, the Baptist pastor in the boat by himself thinks to himself, "Well, if God would allow them to walk on the water, God will certainly let me walk on the water as well." And so the Baptist pastor steps out of the boat and sinks like a stone to the bottom of the lake. The Catholic priest turns around as they hear the splash, and he looks at the Episcopal priest and he says, "Do you think we should tell him where the stepping stones are?" So one of those, there's a lot to unpack here in today's gospel, if nothing else, that it seems to be a repetitive question and answer session between a man who was born blind and now can see, and the Pharisees who are just having a really hard time believing that someone could heal him. But more than anything, if we look at the message this translation, and a couple of you all have been coming to the Sunday Adult Forum, and I've used this translation, one of the things that our friend Eugene Peterson takes when he says that when Jesus says he's walking along and he heals the beggar, but his disciples ask them, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus looks at them and says, "Hold on a minute. You are looking for someone to blame. You are looking for someone to blame for the misfortune of this man. There is no cause and effect here. Rather than looking for someone to blame about this misfortune, let's look instead for what God might do. Let's look instead for what God might do." Jesus says, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have not seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." You see, Jesus says, if you were really blind, you would be blameless to the Pharisees who say, "Well, we see these things and we know what is truth and we know what God wants us to do." And Jesus says, "You're so sure that you can see and know the truth. And since you claim to see everything so well, then you are accountable for your own faults and failures." But this blind man who was born truly blind is not blind because of fault or failure. He knows what it truly means to not be able to see, and he knows that now he has sight. There are many that don't have sight. This man was born with a disability of blindness. And how does that speak to those of us today who walk this earth that have our sight? Many would take this as a metaphor, and it can be many of those things, but it is not to take away from the truth that Jesus gave a miraculous healing to a man who was blind, and he did it on the Sabbath of all days and times, the day of the Lord. How dare he? Was the language of the religious leaders of his day. And Jesus says, if you acknowledge that you don't have all of the answers, then you would be blameless too, just like this man. But since you claim to see and know and have all the answers, when you're wrong, it's your fault for not being open to what God can do. Now, that's quite a different take on this story as we understand it in its words and the repetitive questioning, and we can hear the blind man getting annoyed. I've already told you what he did. Why are you asking me again? Because what has happened is so far outside of their understanding of possibilities that they can't see the truth behind the miracle of Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm here to shine light on all of those things. The things that people question and wonder and aren't sure about. You see, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were more concerned about following the rules. They were more concerned about following the rules. This is the way we've always done it, than having the ability to open their eyes to the possibilities of what God can actually do. About a month ago, your vestry leaders, for those of you who are not familiar in the Episcopal Church, the vestry is the lay leadership of the Episcopal Church. And I invite just for a moment, those who are on or members of our vestry here, if you will just stand up, just go ahead, don't be shy. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. So these here are members of your vestry. Thank you all. You can have a seat. And we met what we call a vestry retreat. And several of the vestry members had last-minute commitments that came up, unexpected things, and that happens. So what turned out was a smaller group, but we had a great discussion. And one of the things that I said was, well, I have a vision. I have a vision of the shore that we as St. John's and this community of people can get to. And they said, well, tell us what your vision is. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure exactly how. But I know where the stepping stones are, but they're kind of hidden in the water. So even I step a little timidly. But my friends, my vision and the clarity that I have for our work together in this community, and if you're visiting today, you can decide if this is a community that you want to join to do this work of God. Because as the blind man received his sight through Jesus Christ, so all people are invited to receive a way of seeing and being in the world through the love and way of Jesus Christ. That is our ultimate mission. And how do we do that, friends, here at St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida? That is our call. In 2025, we will celebrate 175 years of trying to live in to that call. My vision is a community of not only believers in Jesus Christ, but that St. John's Episcopal Church is seen as a beacon of hope in our neighborhood. When I first came to St. John's, the building was quite dilapidated. There was overgrowth. And as I got to meet the neighbors, some were not even sure that it was still open. But in those conversations, what I heard was a sorrow, a sense of sadness.
Because for those who had lived in this neighborhood for many years and generations always saw whether they ever graced these doors into a worship service, always drove by with respect and awe that there is this place with a cross that looks over our neighborhood. And it gave them a sense of self and ownership, whether they understood why or not. So my friends, as we think about our time as St. John's and how we will live into being the light in darkness, there is a world of people who are curious and unsure and afraid, and we have something that the world needs, and that is our relationship with Jesus. So how do we share that in our community? We've been following a gentleman by the name of Sam Wells, and he writes about four C's for the future of church. Those being culture and commerce and congregation and compassion. Culture being, how does the church identify with the culture around them, and what are the things that they're bringing into their neighborhoods and their communities that inspire? And friends, we have an art group that has been inspiring for decades. What would it look like to continue to open up the work and the vision and the beauty and the invitation to explore what it means to follow Jesus by sharing our gifts of imagination and creation? And commerce. Commerce being that the church cannot sit outside of the fact that the world is a world, especially in America, of commerce, where you provide a service and receive payment for us, for it. What would it look like for St. John's to be a hub of commerce? I love coffee, friends, and there is no decent coffee shop on this side of town. What would it look like for St. John's to be a place where on the weekends and on those holidays, all of those who are walking and riding their dogs and riding their bikes and walking their dogs and enjoying time with their family stopped in for a hot cup of coffee and a great conversation? What would it look like if we took that a step further and used it as an opportunity to train people, so that they might be able to learn a new skill to take out into the world and create their own income and their own sustainability? And then there's congregation, that every member, every person here, all of you who are here today and those who are not with us at this moment, but that every member knows that they are loved and beautiful, that in their darkest moments they have someone to walk with, and in their greatest joys they have someone to share with. We have a women's group that's been meeting regularly and a men's group that meets regularly, and my friends, they provide better pastoral care than your clergy standing here ever could by myself. They care and love and tend. They know secrets about each other and hopes and dreams about each other. And this, my friends, is my hope for every member of this congregation. Some people call them discipleship groups, a place to know that Jesus is our guiding light, that those conversations are okay and welcome and comfortable, and that hopefully in the midst of such a community, as my friend used to say at seminary, we rub off the rough edges, our rough edges around each other. And then there's compassion. Compassion for those who struggle among our midst. Not just those here, but those in our neighborhood. When I tell friends about the church that I serve, I say it is the perfect spot. We have the country club on one side of the street and public housing on the other. And we're down the street from the tax collector's office. What are the opportunities that God has presented us here, and how can we open our eyes to what they might be? A simple one that I would love to see happen is that we have a bus stop right in front of the tax collector's office. Why are people going to the tax collector's office? To get a driver's license. There's no bench at the bus stop. There's no shade at that bus stop. What would it look like for as we went in the neighborhood or went shopping at Greer's or stopped into the post office or wherever we went and they're like, where are you? Now, granted, I get it easy because I wear a collar a lot and people are like, oh, where do you serve St. John's? But the best reward ever is as, oh, I've heard about them. And it's in a positive light. What if everywhere we went in our community, people said, I heard about St. John's. And friends, it's not as much about getting people to come and join what we're doing. It's not about getting God to join what we are trying to do. It is about us joining into what God is already doing. It is about us joining in to what God is already doing. I have dreams about our children's center, that it becomes more than child care, but also a place of encouragement, mutual support, not only for staff, but for parents. You all, it is hard to raise children in this day and age. And it is hard to take care of other people's children. I tell the staff often as I can, it's the most important job that we do here. What does that look like as we continue to move and grow? It's not so much about doing for as being with. How do we journey along with our friends and neighbors and one another into being with Jesus Christ? God, my friends, is always up to something. So you might be asking, well, that's a lovely story, Christy. That's a great vision. It sounds like you can see the shore. And you even know what maybe that might look like. But where are the stepping stones? I remember not long ago we were at a diocesan convention speaking of stepping stones. And I remember our diocese has been doing a capital campaign. And their goal was $5 million. And they had a list of all the things they wanted to do. Very admirable. But I remember there were no guidelines. $5 million. How can I contribute to $5 million? I just needed some guidelines. Tell me how much. Where do I fit? And finally they did, and I was very happy. It was quite a relief, because there's this big vision of this, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just this one person, this one family. How do I fit? So a few stepping stones. And the beautiful thing about timing of this is that this is what Lent is. If you've ever thought about, you know, when you plant seeds, they have to live in the soil in the darkness for a while, and they create their strength, and they create their roots and all the things that they will need to thrive as they emerge. Lent is a time for us to be an incubation period, for us to go inward and to build those strengths and those habits and those desires, so that when Easter arrives and the resurrection of Jesus is made known to all of the world and we celebrate with rejoice, that we are grounded, that our roots run deep, because the world will try to tell us no. So a few stepping stones. Pray. Pray for the leaders here of St. John's, for your vestry. Pray for wisdom and guidance. Pray for God to open your eyes and how to join into God's vision for the world. Show up. Show up. Show up to everything you can, because your presence matters. When I was studying chaplaincy as a part of training to become a priest, one of the things we have to do is a summer internship at a hospital. It was 3 months at Washington Hospital Center in Washington, D.C. And I remember early on, of course, you know, we're all seminarians, By this time, we've been humbled enough to know we don't have the answers. But there's still this kind of urge that as you walk into a room, that we are supposed to provide something, to bring something to the grief, the sorrow, the fear, whatever it may be, even joy. And I remember our faithful leader says, remember, you are not bringing God into the room. God is already there. So show up. Show up because God is already here. But God needs your presence. Volunteer. Many of you volunteer a lot at St. John's, and many of you volunteer a great deal in our community. Continue to do those things. And if you're not sure where, feel free to ask. Invite your friends and neighbors. Maybe an invitation to a Sunday morning, you're not quite ready there yet. I remember being Episcopalian in the pew. Will people get it? Not sure. But friends, we have a lot of events, and many of you do invite your friends and your neighbors just to say, come and see. Welcome the stranger. Give radical hospitality. And take delight. Take delight in how God is working in your life. Many of you do much, if not all, of the above. And I don't want you to hear me say today that what you are doing and how you are is not enough. But I only want you to hear me say, because we aren't finished yet. God is always working. God is always inviting. Amen.